Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
All right, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Jonathan Higgins, who was there in Ballybuffet for a famous Cork victory for Off the Ball as the Cork footballers ran out 17 points to 113 winners. Jonathan, safe to say, are you surprised by that result? I know I certainly am anyway.
Yeah, I think even the most red-tinted Cork supporters, well, as much as they would have believed, like, even just the logistics of getting here. I know the team got the flight up this morning, but trying to get that long journey up, the flight to Derry and an hour across on road, it's still a daunting challenge. You go in there and you saw how good that, and if you want to use the Kerry games as barometers, both sides, even just basic maths, isn't it? Sporting maths, that doesn't always add up. The Munster final defeat, and then the flip side of that, the demolition really by Donegal of Kerry in round one. Like, you throw all those in and it's a new occasion here in Ballybuffet. I'm still here looking out of it. It is a beautiful, beautiful surface. I'd say 98% of it was full of loud, vocal Donegal supporters, but it was the pocket of sport. We're down to our right there, starting to hear the rebels, and they all gathered. A beautiful scene, actually, a couple of moments ago there. They all gathered outside the dressing room as the players got on. They're going back for a bite to eat in Letterkenny, but there's rebels was being shouted high into the Donegal sky here as well, and it is one of those, wow, you had to be there sort of scenarios. Mad game, really, Dan. Like, we were joking here in the press box. I think the best description I can give of it is it reminded me of a game before the FRC changes. The game plan was set up. I don't think the game plan, even just the Cork backroom staff and Kevin Walsh and all these backroom analysts and everything, were set up just beside us. So you got to hear a bit of a bird's eye a view of them. They weren't particularly happy at times, but of a lack of penetration, really, if you want to call it that, in terms of the setup. But what happened was the first half was pretty much huge pockets and huge phases of Cork possession. Then you go sitting in the zonal defence, Cork playing on the outside of it, didn't really have, like, they had another couple of moments here or there that could have really done significant damage, but they didn't really. And, you know, they got butchered then on the breakaway. Donegal, when they break, particularly in the first half, they were just blistering on the counter-attack. Gallen was good. Conor Ford, I think, he finished up with four in the end. And the Cork goal that they conceded in the first half, oh, it was a real sucker punch. Initially a kick-out was very well worked to Tommy Walsh, but he got his pocket picked by Michael Murphy, who fed Conor O'Donnell. That gave the opening goal. That scribbles the notes here back in the 24th minute. So it felt like one of those, was a huge roar from the Donegal faithful. It was nearly another goal a couple of seconds later, really, but Murphy made a bags of trying to punch into a relatively open goal. It should really have been a second goal. And even despite that, Cork, just as the hooter was about to hit for half time, I think it was Luke Fahey from over on that right hand side through a crowd of bodies, like, poked one just into the side netting on the stroke of the hooter at half time. To try and paint the picture then, for I know the many people that weren't able to see this game, it was 5-point advantage for Donegal. And, like, we were joking here that, you know, maybe it's just as well that people can't see this. The game was that stale. It was so flat. It was really, really flat, despite the packed stadium here as well. Biggest crowd in 20 years, they say here as well. But it was so flat because that's the way the game went. And even then, after half time, Murphy gets one straight away. Langan gets another. And Gallen gets another. And, you know, But 10 minutes into the second half, it's 110 to 9 points in favour of Donegal. And you think, I've seen this movie before. But there was an incident with Michael Murphy where, very similar to the league final, he's hand strayed and, for me, looked like a fairly straightforward red card. yeah, well, like, he's a very good player, but we have seen this. I think the players beside us were, the lads beside us were saying, like, it's something we've seen before. But if anything, it seemed to spark Cork into life rather than the other way around. And I'm actually surprised that Jim McGuinness didn't take Murphy off, because he was involved in another incident a couple of minutes later, maybe about 5-10 minutes later, where there was another huge roar. But it seemed to just spark Cork into life. And, like, Sherlock got two pointers in the first half. Like, he really is a 2-point machine. One from play, which was just hovering on the arc. Some of us weren't sure if he was actually inside or not. And then certainly one that was the 2-point free just before half time. He gets another one after half time. And then there's a score in the 55th minute from Ian Maguire, the captain of the side. And that, to me, as he turned around and swung it over, it was kind of one of those where, oh, Jesus,
this might actually happen here sort of scenario, because prior to then, I won't rely, I hadn't any tangible thoughts that this shock might happen. And then, like, you saw this absolutely 2 and 2 minutes, 61st, 67th minute, Luke Fahey from downtown, two-pointer, and Tommy Walsh on a breakaway, a turnover outside of the boot effort. I'm not sure if the John Cleary interview has gone back to base yet, but there's a very funny line in it where he's like, I've been warning all the time not to go outside of the boot, but he did and it went over. So those two-pointers in 2 minutes really swung the game around. That one from Tommy Walsh with 8 minutes to go put Cork into the lead for the first time. Now, there was a quick response from Donegal to tie up the sides, only for the second time, and then Sherlock had a two-point free. It was one of those scenarios where the players didn't get out of the way in adequate time. It was brought forward the 50 metres, but he had the Cronus to bring the ball back outside, win for the two-pointer. Again, another interesting line when I spoke to him afterwards. He said, we didn't come up here just to get a one-pointer. He had the courage to come out and the conviction, nailed it. And that put Cork in the lead. Now, actually, that was, with 5 minutes to go, was Cork's last score. But they really butchered another couple of opportunities. Another one that came back off the post. But they did see it out. And then you had almost a bizarre scenario at the end where Donegal are 2 points down and they're on the attack on the right-hand side. The clock is ticking away. It's about 30 seconds. You know it's either a green or an orange flag, and they're inside the almost inside the 21 at this side. They work it across, and Turlough Carr, the youngster, blazed the ball over the bar. And then with 10 seconds to go, you knew that was it, and there was just euphoric scenes. And it wasn't quite the Jose Mourinho and the new camp where the sprinklers come on, but the PA system, God love them. One of the locals here who remain nameless said it was the most strongest performance of the second half was from the PA system, trying to get that group of supporters, and these are hardcore supporters that made this trip up as well, the extended staff and all the players and everything. It was just a beautiful sight in the centre circle, or not quite the centre circle, around the middle of the pitch there as well. It did, despite the peals were on deaf ears, rebels seemed to be chanted back. But it's one of these wow moments. I think anybody, look, we as well spoken about that fact that it hasn't been on TV. Anyone that's catching in on radio or getting in updates here and there, and they saw that notification on the phone, would go, wow, Christ. But what it does mean now is Cork are back in Croke Park. And that is a huge turn of events. And they, most importantly then as well, Dan, they have the opportunity now next week to rest up, get things right, get the injuries. Colin McCallan will be back, I believe. Come back into the scenario, watch and scout the eye as much as possible across the round three games. And they know they will be playing one of those teams in Croke Park the weekend after next. So it's a huge task from dealing with the logistics of trying to get up and down on the plane and back on to potentially being out the road on Saturday again. Now it's at a minimum it's going to be Saturday week. It changes the course of the dynamics of Cork's summer completely around. And then the flip side of that is Donegal have to go back to the well. And I know spoke to Jim McGuinness afterwards as well, and he referenced, look, we've had less games in Ulster, so probably neutralises that. I think that's a glass half full mentality. I think it is going to be a big kick in the teeth to come back. You would anticipate that they will win no matter who they play, but it's not ideal going from week to week to week. Like, they're potentially going to be 3 weeks out in a row if they were to be victorious next week. But like, this is all about Cork. This is all about the victory. Statement, like, I was in Páirc Éireann 2 years ago when they did it. That was a bit of a shock. This is off the scales, really. To do it here in the manner that they did it is just as special. And there's another rebel shout as the bus is making its way. There we go. Yeah, as they head for Letterkenny and to get a bite to eat before they get the plane back down tonight. I think 40 minutes. So I think it'll be a joyful 40 minutes for John Cleary inside. But Dan, what a victory for Cork. Just phenomenal stuff, really. One of these situations where you're privileged to be here in a situation like, I won't lie, you hear the drive, you're thinking about the drive up the road this morning, like, oh God. But yeah, you see something and the rebels, the sirens are going. It's a special day to be Corkonian.
How good was Stephen Sherlock? People are saying, coming off the back of it, that he's basically guaranteed himself an All-Star, well, at least nomination, but probably an All-Star as a whole.
Yeah, a little bit early to have the All-Star conversations, because there's so much football to be played and so much top-heavy football as well. But he's certainly in that conversation right now. It was a very polished display and a very mature display from today, because literally I think he would have gone in at half time, even at full time, and would have checked his Brendan McCall not there. Even when Stephen was hovering well outside the 2-point arc, out around the 45, there's one incident in the second half that strikes in my mind. And Cork, something they did very well is they pushed so many players inside on the overload, in around the inside the full first line of the press. So it meant then that they can get the guys, the shooters, just to be hovering a little bit out of it. Made life very, very difficult. And Donegal spent a lot of time scampering around him. But McCall was shadowing him. Even he was looking at, he was completely taking himself out of the game. He was literally, I'm tagging him and that's it. So there was a couple of moments where he just had to kind of hold off, put the handbrake on and stay away from the football and then zip. But, you know, huge, like the sharpshooter, and you know, with and against the there's a little bit of a breeze here as well. Both pitches, both ends of the pitch, he raised orange flags, which probably tells you everything. Like, he's just one of these really sweet strikers of a football, polished display. Like, at times you wouldn't say he's the primary ball winner inside, just it wasn't that type of game. There was so many slow transition attacks. Now Cork did pick up the pace a good bit significantly in that third quarter, to try when they got a grip really of the game, because you look at it here, that is between the 54th and the 65th minute, so 11 minutes of football, and there's what, 3 2-pointers and 2 efforts from play. I'll let you do the maths. That's without reply. That's where that game was won, and Sherlock was certainly a key component of that.
From hearing all the interviews after, and only about 2 minutes left for it to be live on air, but do you get the sense that they can go on and push on, because this quarter final thing was kind of, you'd say, a goal? Do you get the sense that maybe now they can start to dream, they can go a little bit further?
Look, it's going to be a difficult challenge no matter who they play. You look at some of the teams that are potentially in round three next weekend. Obviously, we have to wait to see how tomorrow goes as well. Look, consistency is always going to be the thing, really, isn't it? Because it's the bane of Cork football and supporters' lives, really, isn't it? Over the years, they've had these moments, and they haven't really pushed on. But you have to look at the development of this year yet again. Promotion eventually, which I think is so, so important to get out of Division 2, to be playing Division 1 teams for that early part of the year, it will really, really push Cork on as well. But yeah, no, quarterfinal is a huge occasion. I'm sure the John Cleary and his staff, he spoke about how he could name the people that are here. I think they might want to try and get a portion of the hurling supporters as well up to GAHQ as well, and because this is a fantastic side. And I'm speaking this with no skin in the game, a complete neutral, but like I'm sure if they could get a chunk of that support on, like, it would be a special occasion going forward. And look, they will be a challenge for any team because they're set up so well, so disciplined. The game plan can be there for large periods, and more. Most importantly, they have 2-point threats, which are absolutely key in the middle of the game. Getting O'Callaghan back now as well in the middle of the field will be huge going forward. They will need him going forward as well. But there's a lot of tools in the box here of the right variety. I suppose it's about doing it now in Croke Park, and it's a huge opportunity ahead.
Okay, Jonathan Higgins, thanks so much for painting the picture for us of everything that happened in Ballybuffet. Jonathan, a pleasure. Thanks so
no
much.
No worries. Enjoy. Thanks. Bye-bye.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.